Hello, diamond beauties and interdimensional beings of light. It's Lisa here, your mystic guide, inviting you to come and take a ride with me as we journey through space and time. Our mission is to create conscious content for 1111D, sharing resources of light for the new reality. Welcome to the Buddhist Biohacker.
Buddhist Biohacker would like to thank our partners Block Therapy, Purity Coffee, Dry Farm Wines, Omnia, and 2-1 Photography. Information can be found on lisamgunshore.com. Join our forum at miwi.com/Buddhist Biohacker and watch live on YouTube on the Buddhist Biohacker channel.
Well, hey, everybody, welcome back. Here we are again. Hi, and we're here with Amy and Amy. God, I'm always going to do that. It's because of how it's
no problem.
I'm going to screw it up. But anyways, we are here with Amy Cartier, and I'm very excited about this. So for everybody who's joining in, this is our One Heart, One Earth Global Awakening event for November of 2020. And we are raising this vibration, and it has been awesome because I was live all day Saturday. I've been live since 8 o'clock this morning, and I feel like it's been 5 minutes. I mean, that's how you know that something is awesome, because I just love it and I feel joyful. So Amy, welcome back.
Thank you. It's such a pleasure to be here. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh God, I just love your energy. It's interesting to me. I have this little tiny group of, you know, psychics and clairvoyants that I love so much. I mean, I have a big group, but there's this little tiny group that have this like the most compassionate, warm energy. And you're one of those people. You just have this really incredible, warm, compassionate energy. So I'm happy to have you here this afternoon. And everybody who's joining in, fill out questions, comments. We love it. Amy, tell everyone about you. Who doesn't know about you that's new?
Okay. I'm a psychic. I do readings, obviously, and I've been doing that for well over a decade now. I kind of lose track after a bit. I wonder how long I've been saying a decade, but anyway, somewhere around there, I've been doing readings. So that's who I am, that's one of the things I do. And somewhere along the line, several years ago, I also founded something called Intuition University, and I have two sections of that. Intuition University. And underneath that, I do private training, 6-month private training for people who are really ready to take their personal intuition to the next level. A lot of times this is somebody who really wants it dialed to the utmost and has very specific goals or uses it in their life. A lot of influencers, people like that, some that are already intuitive, that, I mean, everybody is intuitive, but who already feel like they're dialing that, but they want the practices and precise things that will help them take it to the next level. So that's my private program. And then I also do something called Own Your Intuition. And that's the topic of that we're talking about today. But this class I teach once a year. It's a 7-month program, and it's totally about owning your intuition. And I teach in it all the practices that I use to keep mine honed and sharp. I teach everything that I use and know in order to use this really powerful resource that every single one of us has, is the way that it feels to me. And then the other piece of that is I have something called Empath Intuition University. And that's a program that I do twice a year, and it's just for empaths. So empaths are people that feel other people's emotions, sensations inside their own skin as though it's happening to them. It's a really specific skill set, and it can be super overwhelming just to be empathic, especially right now in the world. But, you know, it's always been super overwhelming if you don't know how to control your abilities. So several years ago, after I had founded already my Intuition University, I was doing a lot of speaking, and it was like empaths were coming out of the woodwork, like, help, help, how do I deal with myself and dial my sensitivity. So that's what prompted me to found the section called Empath Intuition University. It's a 4-month or a 7-month program. It's the exact same program, but in the fall, I do it for 4 months, and we meet every week on the phone. The last one started last week. So we have our second class today, and sometimes I have people sneak in to the second class and start there because we record all of our sessions. So just saying that if there's somebody listening now that's like, I really want to do that. Oh my gosh, I need to dial my abilities. Anyway, you can look it up on my website. But and then in the sometime the beginning of the calendar year, I start my next one, and it's 7 months. We meet every other week on the phone and learn all the skills that we need to, one, manage our sensitivities, because that's the first thing that we have to learn, how to control our abilities so that we're not just completely swamped by what we're picking up all the time. And then we move to some of the, I think, lovely things about being empathic. Like, we finish with practical uses. There's a lot of really good and lovely things about being empathic. And there's a lot of ways that you can use it to make the world a better place. And especially once you know how to dial it and manage your own abilities yourself, then you can do this on demand as you like, whenever you want. So I guess I should say also that I'm the author of this book, Getting Answers. It's over here. Getting Answers, Using Your Intuition to Discover Your Best Life. Everything I do is motivated by this real belief that I have that we're all have so many skills and that our intuition is a resource that each and every one of us has, and that it's intended to guide our life to flourishing. And it's available to us right now, anytime. And then, you know, specifically, I actually feel, whether it's my empath work or it's just intuition in general, I really feel that people that are in touch with their own intuition or they understand how to dial their empathic ability have such an ability to add positively to this world. And I really feel that's super important to me. And I feel like, you know, we need this. We always need this, but we really need right now people that are dialed into understanding their own intuition and their empathic sensibilities, because I honestly feel like that's where the solutions are going to come from moving forward. We're in the process of making all kinds of new and different changes moving forward. And every single person that understands their own innate power is just, it's so good. It makes me so happy. So,
oh my God, it makes me happy hearing you describe it, because it's so true. And I have a question for you. Do you think that as an, you know, for empaths and intuitives and all of us that are sensitive, do you think this year is harder, or do you think it's really the same?
I think it's harder. I really do. And one of the things, especially for empathic people, I think it's harder for everybody, honestly, but because one thing that is true about empaths is they will feel things. They don't necessarily have to be in contact with someone. So when there are thousands of people experiencing something, an empath can be standing in their own living room or in my studio where I am right now and be picking up the vibration of what is happening really, really strongly. So it's one of the confusing things about being empathic, because you're like, wait, what? Why am I feeling this way? Like, I'm here by myself sometimes if there's a huge amount of people feeling things. And this year, it's like the whole globe is literally having one kind of stressful experience after another. And so especially for an empathic person, it's so hard to be able to create space so that you can continue to check in with yourself. You might be totally fine. And if you're awash in the emotion of the fear everywhere or all kinds of different things, then it's just harder. It feels harder to me. And then the other thing is, there's a certain stress cycles that happened that are just like related to being a human and having a human body. And I feel like I learned not too long ago that after, you know, about 6 months in, there's something, there's a name for it. I can't remember. Oh, I think it's called the disillusionment phase that we're all in right now, of like, it happens, you know, during wartime, things like that, hurricanes, things like that, where the body is under a lot of stress. About 6 months in, all of a sudden it just sort of feels like it starts to crumble. Like even people who are normally really resilient feel that intensity and feel this kind of like, what next? And how are we going to move forward? And what is there? So whether you're empathic or not, I feel like we're all affected by that with, you know, starting with the pandemic and then just adding on to that on a monthly or weekly basis, depending on the time period we're talking about. So,
yeah, well, and I know there's whole books you've written and courses you teach and stuff out there all about this question. But my question is, what are you doing to clear? Because I agree, I think it's harder. And I feel like I'm like always clearing my energy. And even when I am clearing my energy, I mean, I was angry yesterday. I get frustrated. I check my social media. And to be clear, I'm not on Facebook. I'm only on social media for this platform. And yet you still get on because you're checking things. And immediately it's a flare up of energy. And it's not impossible to manage, but it's hard. Like, what are you doing to manage your energy right now?
Yeah, it is hard. Two things. I mean, I feel like the first thing is just acknowledging a softness that you have to have with yourself. Like, it is really impossible to be human, literally impossible to be human and not experience emotions like fear, sadness, anger, all these things. So I always feel like that's a starting place of like, hey, you know what? You're human and you're bound to feel like this. Like, let's just be honest and real about this no matter what. And during times like stress like this, it's so important to be extra gentle with yourself and just be like, okay, this is what I'm feeling today. So one of the things along with that, I feel like a vital thing is literally accepting. I mean, it doesn't mean that you know, obviously you still try to control your actions and how that ripples out in the best way that you absolutely can. But one of the things I feel like is just that I do innately, I think, is just a natural acceptance of like, wow, I'm feeling really angry today, or I'm feeling really sad today, or whatever. And I just allow myself in a safe place, you know, meaning like I'm not taking it out on other people. I'm as much as possible. Obviously we all get grumpy and do those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. But I really allow myself to have whatever experience I'm having. That's the first thing I do. And then clearing your energy, it only goes so far unless you're, or I guess I feel like it's a two-step process, clearing energy and then creating a natural boundary around yourself. And if you don't do that, then you can clear, but like 2 seconds later, it's going to be coming right back in again. So I'm hyper vigilant about my energetic boundaries. And I put multiple layers on them when like intensity is happening. And then I also just own whatever I am feeling. I'm like, wow, this is really rough for me today. And then I respond to those, precisely, like, what do I need then right now? Like, if I'm feeling like this right now, like one of my go-tos is I need to be texting my acupuncturist and get on her table soon because I need some extra support right now, or I need to be taking a bath, or something that I've been doing a lot in the last several months is like what something I noticed that I crave is at night, like having everything dark except for maybe my salt lamp, and like just sitting in my living room with that kind of experience where everything is turned off. It's like I'm just able to, it's not so much energetic chaos or whatever. It's like calming and soothing and kind of helps me like pull in here and then really focus inward, which I find is actually usually, you know, pretty good. I'm like, I just allow my mind to wander, allow it to make connections. I sometimes when I'm doing this, I'm not even having something there. Like I'm not writing or reading or any, or knitting is something I like to do in the evenings. I'm just sitting and allowing whatever percolates to percolate. And it feels like a really big reset to sit in the dark or maybe with candles or a salt lamp, something like that. So that's something I've been turning to a lot when I feel like, whoa, it is so crazy out there in here maybe too. And what am I going to do about it?
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, my bathtub's been my savior. And I actually found these salt lamp. They're not a lamp. It's like candle holders made out of the same salt stuff is what's over here. I guess I'm on backwards.
Totally.
So anyways, so yeah, so I light those and I do the same thing. I like get my big Epsom salt bath and I like look at those glowing salt rocks or whatever they are, mm-hmm. I guess. And just stare off. So I'm the same way. It's almost like you have to, there's so much electricity energetically in the air between the thoughts that are running all around the ethers and the actual EMFs and the emotions and everything. The sitting in the dark thing, it's kind of like, it's almost like you have to stop all the stimulation. It's like, there's way too much stimulation.
Totally. And we're really right. You know, this is not the case in past years past. I actually heard, it was my acupuncturist actually that mentioned a long time ago, it's just something that she struck me of many years ago, like say 200 years ago, it was the seeking of information that we always needed. That was the thing that we were needing to move toward. And we had plenty of silence and darkness or sitting quietly by the fire or not doing anything or walking in nature, or whatever, all these kinds of things. And now what we need is the seeking of the quiet, the not, and it's about the quiet, but it's also just the amount of input that we have as human beings who, if you're on the internet, you're the amount of input, sheer input that we have in every single day is like beyond charts compared to what it used to be. So, and it's not something we leave a lot of space for in our culture. We don't have these built in things of it's okay to be silent. It's okay to be not busy. It's okay to be calm. It's okay to do nothing. Those things are, you know, we're kind of taught in our culture that it's, you got to be busy. You got to, you know, if you're going to get this, you got to be busy. You got to be, do all these things. And we have very little, we make as a whole, very little space for this. And it's precisely where we are in this moment in time in history of 2020 and all of the, you know, I can video call my cousin in France and have a conversation with her while I'm doing my dishes and see her and her family and, you know, same kinds of things. Like the amount of input that we get on a moment to moment basis is over the top. So I feel like the times for silence and the making space for the nothing are just so vital. And especially during these time periods.
Yep. I agree. And you know, it's funny cause I just got this kitty who's climbing all over my microphone right now and being crazy, but, to sit and pet her, I had no idea how much I needed that. And I'm actually pretty good. I mean, I'm pretty balanced about being quiet and getting in nature and those things. I'm pretty disciplined. But at the same time, I was like, man, I really do just need to like sit. And like, so it's been just a joy to sit and pet the kitty and be like, I don't have to do anything or think anything and just listen to her purr. I mean, there really is something about that. And, you're right, we don't give ourselves space. And I'm going to guess, I mean, from what I've seen with my clients, and I'm asking you, because I think you probably have seen the same thing, is it seems like it's pretty obvious where you've been distracting yourself at this point. Like after being, you know, in our homes and having our world become smaller in some way, it's like, oh, I didn't think I had time to do X, or wow, I was driving around for 3 hours a day to do these things that now that time's free. It just seems like it's pretty clear if you're looking like where you're being where you're distracting your own self.
Totally. Totally. I mean, there's an app on every, on my phone and even on my computer that tells me how much time I've spent online. Yeah. I just saw mine 2 days ago and I was like, oh my God, that's what I did for 3 hours a day last week. I mean, I know that maybe circumstances were different with election and things, but I'm like, that's unacceptable. That's like a lot of my time that went to that particular thing. So, you know, anyway, it's easy to see taking our time or what we're putting it to, even maybe without noticing.
Yep. It's so true. It's easy to get sucked in. And that's one of my questions. So we're talking about owning your intuition. And I really feel like this is a whole lesson, this being the narrative, the mainstream media, all this stuff is really a lesson in learning to listen to your own intuition and not what other people are telling you, no matter what part of the narrative they're part of, because it's easy to get sucked into all of it. So I'm just, how do we do it? How do people do it? I mean, I know how we do it, but you know, how do we do it?
Well, one of the ways that I do that, I learned this early on in my parenting. I think because I was looking at into something and I realized it depended on who you were talking to. Like everybody had like 10 bullet points of why this was so vital and you should do this and blah, blah, blah. And the next person had like just as many seemingly as powerful points of this particular thing. And so it's kind of how I feel we are. We're at the same place right now with the world and the input of information of like, it just depends on who is doing the talking, what they're going to say. And so because I feel this so much all the time of like, I notice again and again, I find myself being like, I need to, before I'm listening, before I'm listening as much as possible. Sometimes I'm hearing this or that or whatever beforehand, but I do this thing of basically just tuning it out and turning it off. So I'm not actually looking at my Facebook or my Instagram or whatever places or the news and just check in with myself of like, how do I feel? Like instinctually, what am I leaning toward in this? What do I feel is important about this moment that we're experiencing, about what my actions should be, for example, about... what do I value? And as such, then how do I move forward? So I feel like it takes a lot of, one, again, turning off the stimulus, and then also looking inside. And it sort of feels like a lot of internal dialogue of like, well, what is important to me about this moment in history? There's just so many pivotal moments in history that we have all been living through over the last, 6 to 9 months in our lives. And I feel like each one of them has the potential to, I've been thinking a lot about the awakening theme of our event this week. And each one of them has the possibility to awaken us to a lot of different things. And I am becoming awake to things. And so are, many other people. So I, the way that I do it is just kind of check in of like, what is this moment about right now for me? Like maybe something is happening, in Minneapolis or wherever things are going on that there's an intensity that my mind is looking at and so many other people's are, but I need to figure out what does it mean for me? What do I need to know here? What is important for me? And also what is whatever this is happening, whether it's an election, a pandemic, the rampant racism that we're understanding is real. Whatever the subject is, I continue to look back to see, what am I going to do about this now? I might have vital information that I didn't have before. And now it's important for me to know, wow, I, as a white woman, I lived for a long time not understanding how big of a problem racism was, that is the reality of many, many people in this country. Now I can't look away. I can't not know that. So the point is for me again and again, I think, what do I do then? Like what is important for me as Aimé Cartier, where I live, what I do, the people that I live with, what am I going to do about it? So does that answer your question?
Yeah. And it's so exactly like right where so many of us are at. Right. And we talked about it earlier on an earlier show today about your call to action. What do you do with the information? So I love your question. That's like such a great question, is what does this mean for me right now? Because I know for me, I kind of similar to what you're talking about, I've never voted, never cared, never really got engaged. And I realized, this year was the first time I was like, I think I probably want to know what's going on here, and really looked behind the scenes at all of this stuff. And what I realized was, this wasn't about me becoming political. This is really just about me awakening to the reality that I'm a human being and I can't just operate in the ethereal realm. Like there is a need for me to ground into this world. And I had to stop and say, because this, obviously what's going on is very wild and crazy and stressful and who knows what's what. And I think where I've come to is this really isn't about the big picture for me. For me, it's about what am I going to do? How am I going to engage locally? Where do I even want to live? I mean, that's actually a question I've had, is like, well, where are we going to live that shares the same values? as my mm-hmm. husband and I and mm-hmm. our family. And so it's been an interesting year because I think, you know, just like you were talking about racism, it's the same thing with me with politics in general. It's like, well, does it really matter? Yeah, it actually really does affect our daily life. And this was an mm-hmm. awakening for me to see that. But it's just, you know, part of it, right? It's just part of the bigger picture. You know, it really is. And I'm never going to say this person's handle correctly. So I'm just going to say 333, but she said, I've always had good intuition. It saved my butt quite a few times. Laugh out loud for sure. And I'd like to invite the audience, if you guys have any questions for AMA or for me or shares or stories about your own, I'd love to hear what you're struggling with as an empath and a clairvoyant and a healer right now, because we're all struggling and we're here to help support you. That's part of what this whole event is about, is so that we can support each other. And AMA, what are some tools and tricks? What are some things you can tell people if they're saying, I know I'm intuitive, but I don't really trust it. Like what can they do?
I want to answer that, but first I want to make a tiny little comment about, I loved what you said about that it comes down to you and what can you do again? And I just feel like, you know, as part of this bigger awakening, I think it seems like the narrative again and again, no matter who you are, no matter what spiritual frame you're looking at, no matter what political frame, no matter what different things, is that what I see again and again, and a shift that's happening, is we're moving away from this, I think of it as kind of like the hero story of this time period where we always think it was like the one person, it's like monument, it's like the Star Wars film, you know, like there's one, it's the one, and that one has all these magical powers and can like shift everything. And of course there, you know, I believe in the power of one, absolute, like a person, each of us. But I also feel like what we're each discovering in different ways, whether it's voting or racism or whatever, all the different things, is that it actually comes down to who we are and the choices that we're making and how we're showing up in ourselves, in our families, and in our communities that are providing the answers for this time, more than any other thing or even a looking to a person to solve the problem or make the issues, you know, or stand, you know, somebody that holds our flag that we can stand behind. I think it's even more important to be looking at what we're doing. So as a piece of that, when I'm talking about intuition, one of the places that I often like to start is there are some confusing things about it. Some things that people generally like, one of the reasons why they toss it aside. And sometimes I like to start there because I feel like it's, once you understand a little bit of the framework of what it is and how it works, then you know, it's not so easy to toss aside. I like to define it, first of all, what is intuition? And to me, it looks like it's communication from your own highest self. We all have them. We all have a highest self. Like the wisest part of you that has been around for more than however many years you are right now, however you look in this time period, who knows a lot more than you may think you know, or your benevolent guides, ethereal guides. Again, this is something that we all have, whether you're aware or not. And it's designed to, this communication is designed to lead you to the best path, like the best one. But some of the confusing aspects are it's generally subtle. So it's not going to be like booming voice from the sky, you know, Amy, do this, or, you know, like a, this is the way, you know, feeling like somebody is physically pointing you on the path, et cetera. It's subtle. It happens generally, you know, using your mind is one of the ways that it comes in. It's soft, it's gentle, it's usually calm, emotionless in tone, like either peaceful or emotionless in tone. It doesn't shout at you. Shouting at you is what fear does. It's like, don't do that. Do not do that. All these bad things are going to happen if you go this way, if you do this thing. Intuition is almost the exact opposite of that. It's like, hey, I got an idea. Have you ever thought of? And then it's up to you to be like, oh, interesting. Oh, okay. Then kind of move forward with it. So that's one of the things that I find usually stops people of, you know, we're all expecting, or maybe we'd like this like really strong message or moment. And it's generally not like that. It's like, hey, try this, or something pops into your head that you're like, oh, maybe we should do this or try that. Or maybe that would be a good idea to solve this problem. Maybe I should look into that, things like that. Another one of its tricky things for people is it almost always shows you the next step, not the whole picture. So one of my favorite examples of that happened many years ago now when I moved to where I live. I live on an island. I didn't know anybody. I just had this internal like, wow, I need to go there. I feel drawn there. I feel called there. So I went and I was driving by this through the town, and I saw this restaurant and they were having a band, and I was like, oh, I need to go there tonight. I just had this internal feeling, I need to go there tonight. I didn't know anything about what was going to happen there. I just knew, oh, the next step is go to this place at 8 p.m. It looks like they're having a band playing. What ended up happening that night is I met somebody who was like, hey, I need a house sitter. You know, can you house sit for me? Right at the time my lease was up where I was living somewhere else. All of these things, she let me store my belongings in her garage until I found a place to live. I mean, like, so many good things happened from that moment. This island where I live is the place where I met my husband, where he had been living even before me getting here. So there's so many good things that happen and so much trajectory on that road. But in that moment, I wasn't given any of that information. I was given the information of go here tonight, 8 p.m. It's now 1 p.m. Like, figure out how to get there tonight. So, I would just I think it's important to know that that's generally how your intuition is going to talk to you for the majority of time. It's giving you what to do next, and it's not always telling you why. And sometimes you don't even know for years. I mean, there have been things in my life and my clients and students that life that you don't even know for years why that was so vital. And all of a sudden, you know, 15 years later, you're like, oh my gosh, thank God I did that training and now know all of this and this and this and that, because it is perfect for who I am right now and what is needed for this moment. So that's some of the, I want to give space for if you have any questions, Lisa, or if anyone else does as well, if there's something specific you want to know. But.
Well, I love what you said, because I think I've been on a tangent this week about things are just not simply fantastical like that. So what you're saying is that it's often like you don't do a past life regression and become the Queen of England. Like, you're usually like some kind of like Joe Schmo in a hut or something. I mean, it's never what you think it's going to be. And I think that's the same for the narratives out there. I think it's the same for exactly what you're saying. So I'm on your bus. I mean, you are speaking my language, because yeah, it's usually very subtle. It's never very, I mean, I shouldn't say it's never. Sometimes it's really loud. Like Saturday, the whole power went out in my house right when they announced that Biden is president-elect. Everything shut down, literally the whole house. No phone, no computer. And that went on for about 10 minutes and then it came back on. That's not very subtle. And, you know, I've sat with that or whatever, but like spirit was making a point to make a point of that moment, you know? And so I just think whatever it is, sometimes it's fantastical or big, but it's usually very subtle. It's usually like a little thing of like, oh, I need to go do this thing, just like you're saying. So I love what you're saying, you know?
Totally.
So true. I wanted to have you take a little bit of time. You know, you have a presenter page. So just so everybody knows, you can find AMA's page up on oneheartoneearth.net. And I know you have an offering, a presentation, and all that. Do you want to share anything about any of those things?
Yeah, I would say especially if you're interested in the intuition piece, and that what I have on that page is a whole talk about intuition and owning it. And I go into more detail about the subtle or some of its characteristics and what it's good for and why it's so vital to look at it and to own it and to trust it and how it really belongs to all of us, really, truly. So that's kind of what you'll find there. I also have an offering of the beginning chapters of my book. You can check it out and, you know, download that for free. look into that. I think that's all I have to say particularly about that.
Well, that's okay. What's your thought on the theme? You know, remember who you are. Like, what do you think about that these days?
Yeah. Well, I really feel, for me, it feels really related, and maybe it's just because of what I do, but it feels really related to this intuition piece. It was a student of mine many years ago that after doing my own Your Intuition course said to me, I feel like I've been re-given something that I already owned. And so when I think of remembering who you are, to me, it's really related to this extra sense that we all have, this, some call it a sixth sense, you know, beyond the regular five, that is something that each of us owns that is, like I've said already a couple times, of like intended to give us information beyond our brain's capacity to know. That's another characteristic of your intuition. You'll know, you know, just last week, my son is highly allergic to sugar. Like he cannot have any sugar. And he was over at a friend's. All of a sudden I was like, oh my gosh, I got to call her right now, the mom right now, and talk about, it's Halloween candy. Like, people have that kind of stuff in their house. And anyway, it turned out that right at that moment, they were visiting the neighbor who was offering them, my son, a candy bar, et cetera. So it's like, I couldn't have known that. I was literally working in my studio that day. And all of a sudden I was like, I've got a call. Oh, this thing. But those kinds of things happen for all of us. You know, maybe your son is allergic to sugar, so this specific thing is not happening, but you know, it's the insight of to call somebody. It's the insight that you're thinking of someone and all of a sudden they call. It's the feeling of, oh, I need to look into this, or this is popping up and I need to look into it. Or it's the, you know, I've had ones like, I still remember the last time I saw my grandmother, it was the Christmas before it was sometime this time of year. And I remember knowing I need to go back to Minnesota. That's where I grew up. Because this is going to be the last time I'm going to see my grandmother. And I was sitting in my living room when this happened, when I was thinking of this, I was thinking of the holidays and I was like, oh, I many years ago, I started boycotting going to Minnesota for Christmas because I do not like the weather. And that is why I left there to begin with. But this year I was like, well, I really need to go back. And to this day, some of my fondest memories of my grandmother and that happened during that time together, like still the thing that I think of when I think of my grandmother was a result of that visit. So it's, this is something everybody has. We all have this. And again, it's subtle, but it's something that it belongs to us and is helping to guide our lives all the time. It's hard to hear when you're super stressed. So I have to acknowledge that out loud. Again, my students in my Own Your Intuition course this week, last night we met and some of them were talking about how hard it was to hear their own inner voice last week because they were experiencing so much stress about what was happening in the election. So I think it's vital to understand that your stress level, the amount of fear and anxiety that you're experiencing can absolutely, it relates to how well your intuition is working. So when you find yourself in those moments of like, I'm like super distressed because of this is going on. I'm distraught. I'm worried. What's going to happen? All this stuff. I always say to my students that in those situations, the first thing that you're doing is calming your nervous system and calming your body, because you're not going to be able to get information from your own highest good, or it's very hard. I shouldn't say you're not going because it does occasionally happen, but truly it's a wide open channel when we don't have all the like, oh my God, what's going to happen? This going on in our head. And when we do, it's harder to hear an innate sense that you have your intuition, which belongs to you. So, you know, we live in these animal bodies and they cannot be denied. I mean, they are so powerful, and it doesn't matter, you know, how many extra senses that we have outside of them, we need to pay attention to these animal bodies because they can, what they are experiencing can really take over. It happens also for women around hormones and your cycle. Like when you start to notice, oh, you know, I've had this happen so many times with my students of, I'll be like, tell me, you know, start tracking when you have all those thoughts, you know, they usually have a particular, each person has a particular way that they look. The student I'm thinking of hers were like really scarcity. She was like always super worried about, she was a freelancer and she was always worried at this time of the month, like, you know, at a certain time related to her cycle. And I was like, start to pay attention when those things happen because they can override you. Hormones are like serious in a woman's body. And so anyway, the bigger picture is even though, I do feel like our sixth sense is a part of our human body. And it is also beyond that. It's giving us connection with, like I said, the wisest part of ourselves, the part that has been beyond way longer than Aimé physically has been alive, et cetera, for each of you. You know, understanding and paying attention to your animal body and what it needs. Like Lisa was just saying right before we get on, I have to get some water and eat before we talk, because this is what my body needs. And that is what your body needs. It needs those things. So
I love it. What are your thoughts about 2021? Like, what do you think? What's your advice for people? What are you feeling as we go? We're going to round out this year. We're going to put it behind us, but what do you think?
Yes. We'll all be happy to leave 2020 behind, I feel. I actually feel a lot of hope about it, but I would go to the same thing that I started with, more or less, is that I don't feel like the hope is going to come from someone else. I don't feel like it's going to come from the president or the vice president or whatever those things are. I really feel like, you know, this is probably true for all of time, but I really feel like 2021 is going to be made by each of us and the individual actions that we're taking and what it is that we're doing that helps make our world a better place, make our lives easier, make our neighbors' lives easier, show caring and community for the people around each other. One thing I keep really sitting with in this election is the fact that this election was so close. This is its own awakening for me in many levels. And I feel like what it brings to me is curiosity. I'm like, for me, it's so clear what way I wanted it to go. I'm like, what is going on here? Like, I would really like to understand what is happening in the minds of the people who voted a different way than I did. I want to know, like, you know, what's going on? And I feel like a big piece of that, what happens as a result, then conversations, then understanding, really, I find myself sitting after this tumultuous election with a lot of curiosity, which is a different place than I was prior to this moment in time. So again, to me, it feels like yet another awakening. And this is like my own personal piece of like, wow, there's something here that we need to get to the bottom of. There's something that feels really strong for other people. And I need to understand that. And I need to figure out how we can all build together, because that feels really vital and important to me, that we're all included, that we're, you know, people that need access to things that don't have it are thought of and cared for, and ways solutions are made to bring about different changes, things like that. I'm kind of rambling on my own thing here, but I feel like 2021 is really going to come down again to, what choices are you making? What choices are you doing for you? What choices are you doing for your friends and beloveds and family? Whether that means, you know, being a good friend is a vital soul plan and path. It's not Star Wars. It's not the like the one and the person who can levitate all the things and all of that. But it is an absolutely vital way to extend a life force of a time on Earth. And I feel like the whole picture for me looks again and again 2021 and going forward about what choices are each of us making within that frame, and how are we offering and helping to understand one another and communicating and really getting to finding solutions for the many many challenges that we're experiencing as a society as a whole. So I feel like it's hopeful. And I feel like if we can each continue to focus on like, what is it? What do I need? What can I offer? How can I help myself, my community, my family? Then we're building, you know, I think of it kind of like ripples, waves in a pond of like, maybe at first it just looks like, how can I manage my own mental health right now? I'm being driven crazy by myself, my family, these situations, to I feel better. I'm noticing my family's better. I'm helping them. I'm helping figuring out to them, to how can I offer in my community? What can happen? Each of even like, how can I understand my neighbors who have very different political views than I do, for example? All of this ripples out to start to make solutions for big questions that we're collectively as a society are up right now in this time period in history for us.
That is so well put. I love it. And I love what you're saying about curiosity. I think that's such a high vibrational way to look at this right now, is let's just all be curious about what each other thinks and feels, and curious to give, to get and gain understanding, and to give everyone space to be their own person. I think that's really huge. So, oh, so great. I just love you so much. Yeah, I hope you're going to be back next year with me. And do you want to share your websites and everything so folks know how to get a hold of you?
Sure. It's my name, amecartier.com. You can also get there by going to spreadingblessings.com. I should also say I have an empath tonight at East West Bookshop, which is a beloved bookshop in Seattle. Every month I do an Understanding Your Empathic Ability workshop. It's via Zoom. It's $15. And I have that. If you're empathic and you want tools now, you can do that. But you have to go. Actually, you can find it on my website through my speaking and events page, or you can go to East West Bookshop. But it's AIMEECARTIER. I think it's somewhere on our things.
Yeah, it's here. Okay. It's also on AMA's presenter page as well.
Perfect. And it's the same handle for Instagram. And actually, I think my Facebook is Intuition University. You can find it that way. But I'm all the spots. No, I'm hardly ever on Twitter.
Yeah, I just joined to stream this show because I wanted to get it on there. But I'm not a fan of the messaging on there, so I'm trying not to really look at that. But we're on there, so that's important. Oh my gosh. Well, thank you so much, Amy. I just love you. And everybody who's watching, I love you too. And we're going to be back in 10 minutes with Esha Estar, and she's going to be talking about holy badass living. She's got a great story, so I'm pretty excited about it. So thank you so much, Amy, and thank you to everybody. And we'll see you momentarily.
Take care, everyone.